In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday, during the celebration of the Feast of the Transfiguration, we talked a little bit about the Old Testament precursors to what had happened, because there is a definite tie in this feast with Moses and Elijah both appearing beside the Lord during his transfiguration. Moses, of course, went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, and a great cloud surrounded him, just like at the Transfiguration. He went up again after he had broken the tablets of the law to receive them again, and this time the Lord revealed himself in his glory, in part, to Moses. Elijah, after having gone through the desert for a long time and was miraculously fed by the Lord, heard in the Lord a still small voice, which demonstrate that the Lord's power and glory is not just always overwhelming to us, but sometimes very quiet as well. Well, today I'd like to speak a little bit about what the Transfiguration means to us in terms of our entire church year and the centrality of it, how important it really is to us. Because this feast, and it had been celebrated for a long, long time, but when it finally gained liturgical footing in the church, according to the scriptures themselves, it should have actually been sometime probably in March. Because what do we hear during the gospel reading about the Transfiguration but that later on the Lord would be crucified? And in fact, he was crucified 40 days after this event occurred. The Lord had said that there were some standing near him that would not die until they had seen the King of God, the kingdom of God come with great power. And the Transfiguration was the fulfillment of that promise just 8 days later. So we have the kind of difficult situation then liturgically when the Transfiguration should be actually probably during Great Lent. But because of its great and overwhelming festal nature, the church decided that no, instead, it would be moved to August 6th. And August 6th, if you will look at your calendar, is exactly 40 days away from the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, which is an older feast, but which has many parallels to Holy and Great Friday, when the Lord was hung on the cross. So you see how the church has moved this feast, not neglecting the fact of its crucifixion element by making it 40 days before the exaltation of the cross. Now, this is something that is also reflected in the Orthros service today that we heard the katabasias during the canon, not of the Transfiguration, which we heard last week, but of the cross, which is coming up in September. So this was the start, really, the beginning of the Lord's passion, if you will, 40 days before he was crucified. And that's why at this point he revealed himself in all his glory to Peter, James, and John, who went up on Mount Tabor with him. Now, St. John Chrysostom says it's important for us to remember that even though what these disciples saw, and if you look at the icon here or in the narthex, you will see that there's no halo around Peter, James, and John because they were not divinized at this point. Pentecost had not come yet. And they were thrown into a great confusion by what they saw because it was as if the Lord himself was brighter than the sun. That's what they were seeing. But St. John Chrysostom says he showed them only the tiniest portion of his glory during the Transfiguration. Because if he had revealed himself in all his glory, they would have been consumed, because the world itself could not stand that, could not bear it. Which is why, on Moses' second trip up into the mountain to receive the tablets, the Lord said he would pass by him and he would not see his face, but only his back parts, meaning that his full glory could not be revealed to Moses. And neither could it to the apostles. But yet Christ himself showed Peter, James, and John more than what any other human being had ever seen at that particular moment. It was the Lord in his glory. The Lord who, when he was born, had that same glory. If he had chosen to show it, it would have been the same way. All through his life, it was the same way. Even hanging on the cross itself, that glory was still there. But he was choosing not to show it. And it's also important for us to know that during this event of the Transfiguration, that Peter, James, and John also themselves were transfigured, as many of the fathers talk about. If you think back to the story of St. Seraphim of Sarov and Motovilov, his disciple, and when St. Seraphim, in responding to Motovilov's question about how do I know if I'm in the Holy Spirit, and Seraphim looks at him and says, you are in it right now, just as I am. And then Motovilov goes to talk about Father Seraphim's face, which was brighter than the sun. Again, hearkening back to the transfiguration of the Lord, the same thing. But Seraphim told Motovilov that you too are as bright as I am now. So in the same way, Peter, James, and John also were brought into this uncreated divine light of divinity that Jesus Christ was showing them. Now, why is this so important to us? And it is a very, very important feast, because there are many saints that have also seen this uncreated light. And this should be our own goal in this life, to reach the point, spiritually speaking, where we can too can apprehend the glory of the Lord. It's not an unknown thing. It's not an unheard of thing. Even saints during the last century were able to see this light, because that light is a manifestation of the fact of us being brought into the presence of God and divinized ourselves, made Christ-like, becoming light for all people, sharing that light of Christ. This is why the Transfiguration is central to us, because it is, in fact, the whole goal of the Christian life. That is why the Lord showed it to the disciples at this point before he went on to his passion, to give them strength, because he knew, and as we all know by reading the stories that are given to us during Holy Week, we know that the disciples were thrown into such complete confusion and disarray and unfaithfulness and denial. But it would have been a lot worse if the Lord had not shown them his transfiguration, because that was to give them hope and strength. Because they knew, as Peter confessed, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But yet when it came in full force to them on Mount Tabor, they were falling down over themselves and saying ridiculous things, as if Peter was saying, well, let's pitch tents for Moses and Elias. I mean, many of the fathers in their sermons about the Transfiguration, they say things like, oh, Peter, what were you thinking? What was your state of mind that you could say something that's, you know, so idiotic at the time? Because he knew that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But yet when that glory came in full force, when it was presented to him right in front of him on a mountain with a cloud, with a voice declaring this, with Moses, with Elijah there, visible to both of them, that they knew by the power of the Holy Spirit who these personages was. When that happened, it was more than they could take. And so they fall down in disarray. And if you look at the icon, you see that. You see that. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what's happening. But yet, later, they were able to reflect on this, because St. John, in his epistle, mentioned this. St. Peter, in his epistle, mentions this incident. He says, we saw this. We saw the Lord in glory. That's how come we now can declare it to you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is God, because we've beheld his glory. This is what all of us want to strive towards. We all want to be on Mount Tabor with the disciples. We all want to see that glory of the Lord. And the only reason that we don't is because we don't want to bad enough. Anyone who wants to reach that point, who wants to become truly Christ-like, who wants to become truly divinized, can do it. Any of us. Don't ever think otherwise. I was speaking just the other day about the Man of God movie to several different people about St. Nectarios and how humble he was and how extraordinary the things that were said against him, and yet he bore them all with such grace and dignity and Christ-likeness. And someone said, well, but he's a saint. Well, how do you think he became a saint? He wasn't a saint and was able to do those things. He was trying to unite himself with Christ and was able to do those things. That's the important thing, that we can do it, that we can move towards this divine light, which the Lord wants to show to all of us. But yet, he won't show it if we're not worthy of seeing it, because it would do us more harm than good. That's the importance of the Transfiguration. That's why we celebrate it really all this week. The end date for this feast is next Saturday. So it has an 8-day period where we're remembering this event in the life of the apostles and in our own life. So refresh yourself by looking at the icon. Realize this is what God calls all of us to. That if we will just be faithful to the calling that we have as Orthodox Christians, then we too can attain that vision of the uncreated divine light of God. And if we're able to do that, you will have fulfilled what your calling is. Because he calls us now, he doesn't cease calling us even after we depart this life. We continue on apprehending more and more of his divine light. Even as St. Gregory of Nyssa says in imitating Moses, who is at the Transfiguration, that we ascend from glory to glory, to never-ending delight in the great grace and light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.